Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. 10 o'clock, you know what that means. Start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rea always gets the first request. Anybody remember what TV show this was a theme from? I'll let you figure it out. Solomon Burrs Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the text line. At JMCH316 on Twitter. At JMCH316 on Twitter. Getting it going on a Tuesday here. Oh, yeah. It's our 18.7 Brown Liquor Music Hour, baby. Oh, Lordy. We stream online at 929thegame.com. By the way, check us out there. Download your radio.com app to catch us on the go. The station, social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's all at 929thegame to be a part of it. Again, I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Let's do some NFL squib kick.
Take a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Boy, scary situation on Sunday when Devontae Bousby was taken off the field on a backboard after he collided with a teammate. He says today, he said he couldn't move for 30 minutes after the hit, but hopes to return to the field as soon as possible. Oh, man. Said, strengthen my neck muscles again and I'll be good to go. Oh, man. Asked if he was nervous or afraid after the collision. He said, a little bit. I was never unconscious. I just couldn't move, but I was still talking and everything. The doctor and neurologist said I was going to be fine. I just trusted that. After about 30 minutes, I was able to wiggle my toes, and after a couple hours, I was able to regain full mobility. So I was straight. I was fine. Brother, you playing football after that? You can't move. You can't move your body for 30 minutes. I don't care what the hell the doctor tells me at that point. Said they said I was paralyzed for 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, I got to wiggle my toes, and after 2 hours, I can move everything. I'm paralyzed for 30 minutes. I might as well be paralyzed for 140 million years. 30 minutes is 100 hours too long to be paralyzed. I mean, I give the guy credit for wanting to play football, but, man, I'd be looking at life in a whole different fashion out of all of it. He underwent several tests, multiple MRIs, was discharged from the hospital, went back to Denver. So I just happened to return with my team. I was ready to get up out of there. Happy to rejoin my team on the plane ride back. I was just calm, and I just trusted what the doc was saying. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I don't know. That's sort of like what Stone Cold Steve Austin had, by the way, that compression of the neck when he got pile-driven by Owen Hart, that compression on there. And basically, he was immobile for a few minutes. And they say one of the ways you can tell is like when your arms cross and your feet and your legs cross, like your ankles and legs cross one another. Now, don't miss me with the whole idea of ever being put into any kind of situation that hopefully he's okay and everything is fine. But, man, football would be the last thing I'd be thinking about trying to play at this point. Man, I'd be making sure my life and everything else was in order and thanking God for a second chance through all of that. So, Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones not going through the emotional roller coasters of the season. Now, remember back when the Cowboys were 3-0? And they were like one of the best teams in the NFC. Yeah, make that 3-2 now after losses to the Saints and the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers, by the way, had their way with the Cowboys on Sunday. Everything here is to have success in the field. We just need to get out here and play better. Jones told 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. I think it's a weekly radio show that he does. Of course, the Redskins fired Jay Gruden after their 0-5 start. A lot of people think that Garrett is one of the next best, along with Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons. But Jones said no to all that. Quote, don't bet any money on that happening. You'll lose it. As to Prescott's price going up after a 9-touchdown pass in the first 3 games and going down after 4 interceptions the past 2 games, Jones put all of that contract talk to rest as well. Quote, well, first of all, the narrative about his financial future as opposed to how he's playing is frankly laughable. It's not just that way. It's too much on both ends of that as far as the team, and it's too much for Dak to equate his performance stats or one loss these first 2 or 3 games. Let me get that really clear. It's not impacting that with me at all. After having Lael Collins and Tyrone Smith out, Jones said about Collins coming back despite a sprained MCL. He's tough. He's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep him out there. But he said he'll be evaluated on a week-to-week basis out of all of it. So, I don't think he's going to fire Jason Garrett. If he hasn't fired Jason Garrett by now, with some of the underachieving that franchise has had, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Here's when Jason Garrett will be let go. The minute that you tell me Sean Payton is available to come over and coach them. Because unless he can get his guy, I guess there's no real reason to fire Jason Garrett. He wants Sean Payton. He wanted Sean Payton before. That's his guy. That's who he wanted. Until he can get his hands on Sean Payton, and maybe that means Drew Brees has to retire, I don't know, but that's the guy he wants. Now, I'm going to save that one story for last. Vontaze Burfict, by the way, had his appeal hearing today. The Raiders pled their case in support of Burfict, trying to get his reduction of the 12-game suspension. Coach John Gruden said through NBC Bay Area Sports or NBCSportsBayArea.com, we want Burfict back. He has already been punished. We hope he can return to playing soon. I'll be honest with you, he hadn't been punished. And we talked to Jason Lockenfora last week. There might be some thought about whether or not he should play again, because it's getting to the point where he is consistently, legitimately hitting guys dirty. This has become a real pattern of behavior for how he plays the game. I don't want to hear about he's aggressive or tough. Again, he knows the rules. He's played with the rules. And he still does the cheap shot hits. I don't think the league is going to be very quick to want to drop that 12-game suspension down. I don't think that they're going to be real quick to want to do that. I think that stays in place, and he's probably lucky that it's not the whole year, and he's probably lucky about whether or not the NFL would decide to even bring him back. I think there's a lot of people that would tell you that they would just be just as fine if he did not go on the football field again. So we'll see, but I would doubt seriously that he gets that reduced. But again, it's the NFL; anything's possible. All right, Shake Gate, I guess is what they're calling it. So Richard Sherman said that Baker Mayfield snubbed him during Monday's pregame handshake. Okay, according to NFL.com, on Monday night, Sherman said what's amazing and annoying with him was him not shaking hands at the beginning. That's some college S, you know what. It's ridiculous. We're all trying to get psyched up, but shaking hands with your opponent, that's NFL etiquette. And when you pull Bush League stuff, that's disrespectful to the game. And believe me, that's going to get us fired up. Okay? Sounds legitimate, right? One problem. The video shows that they did shake hands before the game. And everybody's put it out there and everybody's seen it. Well, again, he's a very good cornerback, is Richard Sherman. And what do when you're a really good cornerback? You backpedal, right? Says they're making way too big of a story of a blowout. He pissed us off. We put a foot in his ass. End of story. Now, supposedly, what Sherman has been saying is that, the way he shook my hand wasn't the right way. And now people are freaking out over a handshake. I'll lose no sleep over it and move on to the next opponent. Okay, well, the reason people are freaking out, as you say, quote unquote, is because you made a story of it. You were adamant that this guy didn't shake your hand. Again, if he didn't shake your hand, make your point. But how do you go about saying something like that, knowing full well that somebody's going to have video showing otherwise? And now he said, well, he didn't do it in a very professional manner. It was some ridiculous quote and comment about it. Now, did you see where Nick Bosa, by the way, took the thing and did the flag planting in there as payback? Remember, Nick Bosa was there when Baker Mayfield did the flag plant against Ohio State in the horseshoe. Okay? He was there as part of all that. By the way, Nick Bosa is turning out to be a really good player, by the way, too. Yep. They are really good. They are really good. They're getting better. You know who coaches them, right? There's a guy that's their head coach. Yeah. He knows the guy who's coaching that team right now. Yeah, they're undefeated, by the way. How about that? How shocking of a deal is that that team is undefeated in San Francisco? And by the way, that's a good division. That division's not full of ham and eggers. Rams and Seattle are both two pretty good teams out there. Arizona, they ain't nothing. But the Rams, I mean, they kind of were like in the Super Bowl last year. Remember them? Oh, Seattle's won two Super Bowls or won one Super Bowl or whatever it was out of all of it. Yeah, Russell Wilson's been really good this year. So, but again, this whole handshake gate now has blown up over everything. Browns better figure some things out, by the way, because like they're getting blown out by teams. It has not gone well for the Cleveland Browns thus far. So much for that that whole idea of them winning the division. Things like that. Again, long way to go, and I understand that. But boy, they don't look like a very well run football team right now. I'm not sure Freddie Kitchens is on the hot seat yet, but it would be a bad look for them to be a 6-10 type of team, given all the hype and hoopla that they had coming into to this season out of all of it. Oh, by the way, you know that the Falcons have to go to San Francisco this year, right? Because we got Rams in Seattle. That's still in the first half of the schedule. And then we got Arizona this week, and then going out to Houston. Out to San Francisco. That's Sunday, December 15th. So all of a sudden, whereas that looked like one of those games, maybe the 49ers, maybe they won't be real good and we can pick up a win there. Okay. Well, maybe all of a sudden they might be good, which ain't good for anybody, at least Falcons related. Hey, 2019 Pro Football's Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Get the most games right each week for your shot at $1,000. Score the best for the entire season, and you can win a trip to Miami for the big game weekend and $5,000. Get signed up today on the contest page at 929thegame.com. The Braves are going to advance tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. It's true. It's damn true. But that doesn't mean they did it the right way. I'm going to explain that next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
These are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night.
This has been an unbelievable series. My God, both teams just banging at each other and the close games and the late inning heroics. And it's been something. It's been exhausting. I know when you're a part of it, but it's been a heck of a series. I mean, both sides. I guess it's only fitting that we're going to be going out there in a winner take all type atmosphere tomorrow.
Braves manager Brian Sinker bringing us back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the John Chuckery Show, live from the Kia Studio, hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Hot Take Tommy coming up next. Little Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes for the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Old Teddy P, baby. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That's also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with us. Follow us on Twitter at JMCH316 at JMCH316. He is at Jarvis D90 at Jarvis D90. So the Braves are going to win tomorrow night. And by this time tomorrow night, the Braves will be well on their way to getting ready for whoever they're going to play, Dodgers or Washington Nationals. We'll find out the winner of that, because the Braves are going to play at, 5 or 5:30, somewhere around that range is when first pitch takes place. So back here at SunTrust Park for this game 5, trying to win their first series, 537, yeah. Trying to win their first series, and like, oh, man. When's the last time they won a series? Like, been like 15 years or something? No, it wasn't 2003, because that's the team that lost to the Cubs. That was the team that lost the 5-game divisional series of the Cubs when Leo come out and said, oh, yeah, anything can happen in a 5-game series. Meanwhile, Sheffield, Jones, and Chipper hit, 124 homers and drove in 400 runs that year, but I'm not mad about that team still or anything. Anyway, Yeah, 2001. Yeah, 17, about 18 years. Whew. Hard to believe for a team that had so much success for so long. 18 years since they won a postseason series. And I do believe the Braves will win. Why? Well, first off, because of the better team. The Braves are the better of these two teams. They look like the better team. The lineup is better. The pitching is better. The bullpen is better. I believe that they are the better of the two teams. They have all the intangibles that tell me otherwise. They're also the best team scoring from the seventh inning on. I mean, there's a lot that plays into it. But they're the best team of the two. Now, I'd say it this way. Part of it is they will, if you get it, it's all going to depend a lot tomorrow on do you get good Fulte or bad Fulte. As long as you get good Fulte, then this team will win. Get bad Fulte, may have to fight scratch claw to try to get him. But one thing that doesn't change is the fact that part of why the Braves are kind of even in this position is the fact that they decided that their best pitcher wouldn't get a shot to pitch two games in this series. Now, again, y'all tried to tell me and sway me and sell me on the idea of Dallas Keuchel, and I said, he's only 2-2 in his last seven playoffs. Yeah, but he's a bulldog in the playoffs. He's a bulldog. Oh, yeah, he's got it. He's a vet with all the experience. You don't understand. Yeah, but he's 2-2 with a pretty mediocre ERA in the last seven play. You don't understand. He's a bulldog. Okay. Both games the Braves lost, he started, by the way. By the way, he's pitched eight innings and given up four runs. It's not like he's been all that good. I still go back to the idea of, and I said this before it all started and everything, why your best pitcher all year long doesn't make two starts in a series. Now, it's not like the Braves had to fight, scratch their claw their way to the division title. Despite what y'all told me about that, you don't understand. We're in a pennant race. Yeah, but the Nationals and the Mets and Phillies never beat you. Doesn't matter. Nats are red hot. Mets are red hot. Yeah, but they don't beat you head to head. Doesn't matter. Okay? We're in a division race. You don't understand. Okay? So it's not like they didn't have the division wrapped up early where they couldn't set their pitching staff the way that they wanted to. Not like they were forced to play a one-game playoff to get through it. Braves had it all lined up. And the manager, whatever, they decided that their best, because of analytics and splits and this and that. Now, miss me with the whole, well, you know, it sets up that Soroka's going to pitch game one. Okay. That's how, so you're telling me that that's how they were not managing for this series. They were managing for the next series. Okay. That's pretty brazen and pretty bold to be able to do something like that, is say the heck with the Cardinals and do all that. Mike Soroka should have pitched two games in this series. And if you can't understand that now, you've got your suspenders on and your eyes are covered by one of those divisional banners they used to hang in Turner Field up in left field up there. Now, the idea that Mike Soroka would pitch game one of the next series, great. He is your best starting pitcher. Anybody want to argue that with me at this point? The guy was fifth in Major League Baseball in ERA among starters. Fifth. Only four guys. Again, Ryu, Kershaw, Buehler, Cole, Verlander, Greinke, Sale. Take all the great pitchers in Major League Baseball. Only four guys. DeGrom, everybody. Only four guys, Scherzer, only four guys had an ERA better than Mike Soroka. And they waited until game three to pitch that guy.
Well, you know, splits and all that. You know, splits, you know, the sabermetrics and all that, you know, that the home and away.
And I tried to tell you that lineups in the playoffs get squeezed. People are talking about, well, what happened to the 40 homers? And it doesn't work that way in the playoffs. You know, this isn't the Mets and the Marlins and the Reds and the Padres and the Rockies. You ain't facing all those ham and egger, Joe Bag of Donut, fish heads and rice, Funkin' Wagnall pitching staffs anymore. You know, this is all the best of the best. That this is the cream of the crop. These are teams that have fought, scratched, and clawed their way to get to this point to be able to still be playing. It's natural that lineups get condensed and squeezed and crunched. I said every at-bat gets magnified. I'm not mad at the Braves' offense. Should the Braves be better with runners in scoring position? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But the idea that the Braves are just going to whack it all around, it's not how it works in the playoffs. And when you know lineups and offense is going to be at a premium, that's even more reason why you pitch your best pitchers. It's even more reason why you rely on the best of the best. Again, I always go back to 2001. Bob Brenly, they won 11 playoff games, the Arizona Diamondbacks, to win the World Series that year. Schilling and Johnson had 9 wins and a save in their 11 wins. 9 wins and a save from 2 guys. Why? Because that's what you got to do is ride your best guys. Ride your best. It doesn't work out. At least you get beat with your best punch. I can take that. What I can't take is telling me, yeah, Keuchel's a bulldog. Yeah, but he's only 2-2 in his last 7 playoff starts. He's been pretty mediocre. You don't understand. He's a bulldog. You understand 2015 is like 100 lifetimes ago at this point when you're talking about pitching? Oh, Jarvis, texter says, dang, does your elbow and shoulder hurt reaching behind your reaching behind to pat yourself on the back so much? No, it doesn't. I got a nice long reach. You know, that's why we get an 18.7 in the 10 o'clock hour. You know, it's not a matter of patting myself on the back. I just want y'all to listen a little bit. You know, we do know a little bit of stuff on the show. We do kind of have a bead on some of these things out here. Okay? You know, it's not when everybody says, you know, well, it's Atlanta and it's going to happen to us. No, there's reasons why we get ourselves in the situations that we get ourselves into. You know, if the Braves have to go to game 5 because their best pitcher got beat twice, then so be it. I can live with that. What I can't live with is a guy who's an average pitcher, a guy who was a full run higher than my best pitcher getting 2 starts to my ace's 1. And I kept saying, Soroka's your ace, Soroka's your ace. You don't understand. Keuchel's a bulldog. But Soroka's your ace. Those are the guys you got to live with. You have to find a way to squeeze as much out of them as you possibly can. However you got to do it, put your best guys in. Now, the idea of, I heard some people on Twitter and things like that talking about what to do with Freddie Freeman. You know what you do with Freddie Freeman? Nothing. That's Freddie by God Freeman. I couldn't use a West Durham-ism. It's by God, Freddie Freeman. You don't do anything with Freddie Freeman. You keep him in the 3-hole, and you trot him out there every day because at some point he comes through, and all of a sudden you look up and say, wow, that was a huge moment, a huge hit. I'm not changing nothing about the lineup. Lineups are what they are at this time of the year. And that includes, by the way, starting Duvall. You know, part of putting Adam Duvall in as a pinch hitter is the idea of getting him a favorable matchup, getting him in a matchup where he can succeed, not just trot him out because he's had a couple of good moments. No, put him in an advantageous situation to do the most that he can do. All right, going to give you some Falcons thoughts from over the weekend. Been kind of stewing on some stuff here. Talk about that next. Chuck Winnicki of Studios, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game.
That you can do. Relax your mind. Lay back and groove with mine. You gotta feel that heat, and we can ride the boogie. Share that heat of
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuck Show from the Brown Liquor Music Hour headquarters. Hanging out till 11 o'clock. Hot Take Tommy coming up after us. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Follow us on Twitter. Best way to interact is through that, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90, playing all the hits. Well, we talked to Jason Butt earlier in the show, and of course, Tuesday nights are my first chance to kind of react to what I saw with the Atlanta Falcons over the weekend. You know, one of the things I asked Jason about is, after watching another week of no sacks for this football team, back-to-back weeks of not being able to sack quarterbacks, after 1 week a guy had gone 8 sacks or 7 sacks or whatever it was the week before, and last week Deshaun Watson averaging, what, 4 sacks a game going into this, had been sacked, I think, at least 4 times in every game, and yet can't find a way to put the quarterback on the ground for it. And my question was, are we about at the point where Vic Beasley shouldn't start anymore? And I'm not trying to hate on Vic or anything like that, and I understand the financial ramifications and everything that Vic Beasley has in there. But at this point, with what they're doing, he gets nothing done on the field. He's had back-to-back weeks where he's not shown up in the stat sheet at all. You talk about tackles, pressure, or tackles for loss, sacks, anything. He's not shown up in the stat sheet for 2 consecutive weeks. Hell, you could put me out on the field and do that. If you want somebody to go on the field and not show up on the stat sheet, but play, you might as well get Chukri. Might as well get Jarvis. We could go out there and do that. But there comes a diminishing return of saying, I can fix this guy, I can do this, I can do that, and nothing changes. Do the Falcons have a lot of other great answers? No. But they ain't any worse than what Vic Beasley's given this team thus far. I should say 44. And because of it, the other guy who's drastically struggling and is not ready to play every down in the NFL is 26. Between the lack of a pass rush to help him out and the ability for him to have field awareness, he's not ready to play and start 16 games in this league. Will he have moments? Sure. He's an NFL-quality player. Of course he's going to have moments. It won't be 100% bad. Nothing is that. Nothing's 100% good. Nothing's 100% bad. Of course he'll have moments. But right now, he's lost on the field. And I hate to say it this way, but he's got some Duke Riley in him. His field awareness is dreadful at times. Like where he needs to be on the field and cover a wide receiver. You know, he's had guys that are having career years against him. Will Fuller will never have a game better than what he had on Sunday against him. Never. And no one's going to feel bad for Isaiah Oliver because, oh, man, he's a second-year player. He, you know, we can't let him get beat like that. Hell no. You go right after him. Expose him. Your job's to win football games. I wouldn't expect anything less out of all of it. You know, it used to be that I said about Dan Quinn that Monday through Saturday you could completely trust him, and it was Sundays. I don't even know if the Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday part of it is getting through anymore, though. I'm not sure the Monday through Saturday part is getting through because you look at the way this team comes out in these games, you look at the way they start off with their performance, it just isn't happening. And Dan, at some point, I don't want to say he's a defeated guy because he's not. He's not going to quit or anything like that. But I think he's running out of answers. And I think it comes to where if Matt and Julio and those guys can't figure some things out, I'm not sure what they're going to do. They're going to have to rely on their offense to help carry this football team. And miss me with the whole, you know, well, the Indianapolis Colts, they went 1-5 and made the playoffs. Yeah, they were only the third team since the league merged to do that. Third team since the league merged. How many 1-5 teams do you think there's been since the league merged? Probably a few. We already have the most winless teams in 6 years right now in the league. The most winless team since 2013, I think, is the stat that I saw right now in the NFL. Like the, you know, one of the most It's only in the last 15 years, one of the most that we've seen over that course of time. It's just there's some bad football teams out there. And miss me with the whole, the Falcons could be, 3-1 or 4-1 with a play here and a play there. Yeah, they could also be 0-5 with a play, with one play. Aguilar catches that pass for Philadelphia. They probably lose that game too. And now you're talking about 0-5. And the running game is another thing that's just. We talked with Jason that 91 rushing attempts in five games for this team. That's not enough. That's not enough. 91 rushing attempts. If you're not going to be able to run the football effectively, or you're not going to try to commit to the run, then figure out a different way to have your short yardage passing game to your running backs be your run. You got to come up with something to keep the defense honest. You can't just chuck it, and hope for the best. Can't be down 71-20 in the first half of games and say, well, we'll regroup and we'll try to figure it all out. They look like a football team that just doesn't know how to figure it out, to figure something out, to overcome adversity and find a way to persevere through it. They just don't. They can talk about being pissed and this, that, and the other. Fans don't want to hear that. Fans don't care. Fans don't care when they drop their hard-earned money down to see garbage. And I can tell you, there's just nothing worse than when your football, pro football team in town is bad. It just makes it everything kind of gets sucked out of you. That's why the Braves and Atlanta United, man, you talk about needing them. Yeah, we need them right now. We need the Braves to win Wednesday. We need Atlanta United to win coming up on the 19th. We need those teams because right now it doesn't look like the Falcons are going to get it done. And this idea that they can't get a pass rush, I don't know what to tell you at this point. I can tell you this, it would make no sense for the Atlanta Falcons next year to have Dan Quinn as their head coach and go draft another pass rusher because they haven't developed anybody. I mean, obviously, as of right now, that 15.5 sack year for Vic Beasley is a complete fluke. And again, you can't dumb your way to 15.5 sacks. You had to do some good things, and you had to have some talent to be able to do it. But we're getting to the point where that's a complete fluke of a season. I don't know how we got to that point. I don't care how you get there. 15.5 sacks is 15.5 sacks in the NFL. Is Dwight Freeney worth? Are you telling me if I brought Dwight Freeney in here today, Vic Beasley would add 10 more sacks to his total? Because I've heard that too about, well, it was with Dwight Freeney. So you mean to tell me if all I got to do is just bring Dwight Freeney in, that I get 10 more sacks out of Vic Beasley? That's all I got to do. Hell, I'll split that salary then with Dwight Freeney if that's all I got to do. All right, going to wrap things up and love TKO at Hot Take Tommy coming up next. Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.